Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be finding out about the Wildlife Center of the North Coast first annual Founders Dinner happening on Friday, November 3rd at the Seaside Convention Center. It promises to be a really exciting and fun evening, and we're going to learn more about what the Wildlife Center of the North Coast has been up to recently from my guests. Lindsay Nicholas is the Development Director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Donna.
Very happy to have you in the studio.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And we also have Josh Sarampa. Josh is the Executive Director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Donna.
Before we begin talking about all of the creatures, large and small, that you all help and save and rescue for all of us who live here and enjoy wildlife, let's hear a little bit about each of you. So, Lindsay, please tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Michigan, running around in the woods, nature lover myself. I just moved to Astoria about almost 2.5 years ago, and we love it here so far. Have a house out in Alderbrook. At the Wildlife Center, I am our development and communications coordinator. So I do everything from fundraising and press releases to social media, helping with our volunteer recruitment and things like that. Also all of our grant writing. So very busy.
Letting people know what's happening on that beautiful property there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so important. And are you also coordinating some of the educational components of your programs in the schools and things like that too?
That mostly relies with Josh and and a volunteer of ours who is special. She specializes in education. So
excellent.
They are a great team.
Well, Josh, please tell the listening audience about yourself and also what you do at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast.
Well, I'm a third-generation Astorian. I started volunteering when I was 16 with the Wildlife Center, but when I was 18, I got my wildlife rehab license through the state and kind of became the unofficial assistant rehabilitator for the organization. And then 2015, when our founder, Charnel, passed away, I took over as the executive director. My role has been... I've done a lot in this position. I was full-time rehabilitator as well as full-time executive director, which of course the birds came first, so I've mainly been focusing on the rehab, but I also help with volunteer coordination, volunteer recruitment, education, outreach programs, and where I have time, I've been helping Lindsay with fundraising events.
Maybe we have some listeners who aren't familiar with your organization. Mm-hmm. So why don't we talk about Charnel Fee's vision and what you have tucked out in the country just a short ways away from Astoria?
Sure. Yeah. So we're a nonprofit wildlife rehabilitation facility or a hospital. We take in almost all native wild animals. We specialize in seabirds. That's what our founder, Charnel, moved to the coast to do 20 years ago, was to specialize in seabirds. So we take in injured, orphaned, and sick wildlife, ultimate goal being to release them back out into their natural habitat, fix them up, raise them if they're orphaned, and release them back. We, on average, do 2,000 animals a year. And we do mostly birds, but we do some mammals as well. Not all. You know, there's some native mammals that we are not allowed to do based on state regulations, but otherwise... We do everything from bald eagles to down to hummingbirds, and we do squirrels, bunnies.
River otter, river porcupine.
So we are located just 9 miles east of Astoria on Highway 202 on 105 acres of property. We have about 20 outdoor enclosures and a state-of-the-art hospital itself with somewhere around, 50 mm-hmm. indoor enclosures for the birds to recover in. We rely on volunteers as our support. How many volunteers do we have?
On site right now, we have around 30 volunteers that help every day, well, throughout the week, each day with patient care, prepping diets, dishes, laundry, cleaning, helping give medications. We also have volunteers, maybe another 30 or so, from Long Beach, Washington, all the way down to Newport, that help with rescue and transport of all the patients that we receive. They kind of do a hot potato, pass them up along the coast to get them to our hospital. So we feel really fortunate.
I myself have found injured wildlife, injured birds, and have called the center, and you have come out and taken them and rehabilitated them. So I have firsthand experience, and I'm very fortunate that I've been able to see your facility. What do you, the enclosure which has all the water and the ability for the birds to fly, that's your aviary?
Yeah, we have multiple aviaries. We have different aviaries for different types of birds. So we have an eagle aviary, we have a pelican aviary, and then we do have an enclosure that has a bunch of different filtered pools in it for our more pelagic birds, common murres, puffins, the ones that spend all their time out in the ocean. So yeah, we have quite a few, a songbird aviary.
And while at this time the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is not open to the public, there are a couple of auction items that are pretty exciting at this founder's dinner that would allow folks to come in and have a private tour of the Wildlife Center. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about what's happening at the actual event. Josh, how have things changed at the Wildlife Center over the last, it's 20 years, you're celebrating 20 years mm-hmm. of activity on the North Coast and beyond, as you say, all the way down to Newport. How are things changing and evolving at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast right now?
Well, we could take a step back even and say that, you know, we've started out 20 years ago in a single wide trailer. Then, you know, 10 years later, so 10 years ago, we ended up having our state-of-the-art hospital built. And now, another 10 years later, we have 4 paid staff, 2 part-time, 2 full-time, and then a decent volunteer, but we can always use more volunteers.
Oh, there's an opportunity. If you like wildlife and you would like to be a volunteer, the Wildlife Center of the North Coast would be very happy to have you get involved with them. And you can go to their website, the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, or you can call them and they can tell you about volunteer opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, other ways we've evolved is we have a new enclosure that we built, kind of trying to, our big thing is trying to keep with the times and keeping best practices with the work that we do. And so we built state-of-the-art outdoor enclosure that's, you know, concrete substrate. But yeah, it's a slow evolution, but I guess that's what evolution is, right? But yeah, do you have anything to add?
Well, your success rate is very high, though. I mean, you do a lot of releases. You have, I think the work that you've done has been incredibly impressive. And if people might ask, well, what does it mean to rehabilitate an injured bird or an injured animal? Can you tell people what happens when someone listening might find some injured wildlife? Sure. They would call you immediately first. Mm-hmm. And then what happens?
Yeah, so and obviously this all varies on what the injury or the animal is, but say someone was driving and saw a red-tailed hawk on the side of the road hit by a car. When we get that bird in, it's got a broken wing, for instance. We have to wrap the wing, set the bone, and that typically takes about 2 weeks to heal. But again, that depends on what the injury is, whether we had to do surgery. Sometimes we do some surgeries. We work with a local vet hospital. But it could vary with a simple fractured wing. It could be 3 or 4 weeks before it's out. A more complex, it could be 2 or 3 months before releasing the animal. We see a lot of starving seabirds coming in. And starvation cases are usually a little bit more difficult because they take a lot of hands-on care. We have to tube feed them their diet the first day and a half or 2 days.
Why are they starving, Josh?
I'm not entirely sure. There's studies being done right now because, I mean, there are birds dying all up and down the coast here on the West Coast. There's not a lot of fish out in the ocean. They're thinking that's a lot of that has to do with the warmer ocean conditions. I don't want to speculate too much without actually knowing.
Of course. No. But where you're noticing changes. That's the thing. You're noticing changes. And I think, sure, you know, there's more of a need. And I know that many of the injuries are because of, you know, human interaction, mm-hmm. a car, a power line or something like that, right?
Yeah, we get car strikes a lot. We get little songbirds that run into windows of houses. We get birds have hit power lines or landed on power line and got electrocuted. And then, of course, we get fishing line entangled seabirds from time to time, birds that have hooks from fishing line in them.
Well, there, I think it's interesting that you do specialize kind of in birds because although you do, certainly you do other mammals and other wildlife as well. But the birds here on the coast are birds that you don't see in anywhere else but the coast. And so what are most of the birds that like that you're rehabilitating and seeing come in to the Wildlife Center of the North Coast?
Yeah, so winter's kind of our busier time of the year here, and we get in... You know, like right now we're getting in western grebes, a little kind of funny-looking red-eyed aquatic bird. We get common murres, which not a lot of people know what they are, even though we see them all year long. But it's like a little tiny miniature penguin is kind of what it looks like. We like to joke and call them the Oregon penguin. We get puffins, rhinoceros auklets, which is a type of puffin.
And so many gulls, pelicans and gulls. Yep. I mean, yeah. there are lots of different kinds of seagulls. And they're not just seagulls, gulls themselves. I know it's a big family. I was recently at a conference. The Oregon Coast Visitors Association had a conference in Gold Beach a few weeks ago. And one of the speakers was a birder who also had statistics on the economic driver that birding is to the state of Oregon and on the coast. And it's interesting that you talk about winter, that that's your busiest time, because winter is the time that you get to see a lot of these seabirds. Mm-hmm. So I know that the Oregon Coast Visitors Association is looking at really promoting winter tourism. Mm-hmm. Summer, the coast, we know, is busy enough. A lot of locals will certainly tell you about that, the traffic. However, winter tourism, what can people do? And birding is a huge piece of that. And so the winter is the time to see some of these birds. And you're releasing, you're rehabbing and releasing birds all year round, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we can't keep them for too long. We have certain requirements we have to follow. And so rain or shine, they get released when they're ready. So
you have also, now you're the development director, you have a membership program, Lindsay. Can
yes,
we talk a little bit about
we
that?
We just started that just over a year ago now. Folks that are interested can sign up. It's $45 or more per year, or they can sign up as a sustainable member on our website and do $5 a month or something, whatever fits their budget. When you are a member, you get a copy of our quarterly newsletter, Wild at Heart, that has stories about patients and volunteers and events and different things going on around the Wildlife Center and in our area. You also get invitations to releases and special events, and we send out a monthly email with more stories and pictures and things like that. So it's really a way to keep people involved, let them know what we're doing. We've had a lot of donors dedicated to the center for a really long time, but they never really got a whole lot back other than just knowing that they were doing a good thing and helping wildlife. So this is a really great program that gives back to them and keeps them involved and really a part of our family. So.
And this is the very first year that you are having your founder's dinner. How did that idea come to be? And let's talk a little bit about this event that's going to be happening on Friday, November 3rd at the Seaside Convention Center.
Yeah, it kind of seems a little crazy that, you know, we've been around for 20 years and this is the very first time that we're going to do an event like this. And it really stemmed, of course it's a fundraiser, but it really stemmed from celebrating the past 20 years. I mean, it's a real milestone. And it started with Charnel's vision 20 years ago, but there have been so many people and so many organizations over the past 20 years that have helped make the Wildlife Center what it is today. And so it's really about celebrating that and celebrating our community and all the people who've supported the organization this whole time.
So what is going to happen on November 3rd, and how do people get tickets for that?
Well, it's going to start at 5:30 at the Seaside Convention Center. We're really thankful to be at the center. They're such great people to work with and a great location as well, since it's centered in our whole service area. So we're hoping people can come from up and down the coast. We'll start with cocktails and perusing our silent auction. We're going to have a big visual kind of storyline of the past 20 years. And then we'll have a dinner, live auction, and a Raise the Paddle bid where all of the funds raised from the Raise the Paddle will go to our rehabilitation fund. And also Josh is going to be doing a presentation talking about the past 20 years and really honoring some of the folks who've contributed.
I think right now, more than ever, with all of the news, which can be so depressing, I mean, that's why people are watching kitten videos online, right? Because we need relief. And so hearing happy stories, successful stories about wildlife rehabilitation is just exactly what we need right now. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. They've been working for 20 years, kind of out of the limelight, really, just kind of tucked away doing the important work that they're doing to help wildlife in our area and far beyond our area, which provides the richness and beauty of, you know, one of the reasons we live here is because of the flora and fauna. Right. And so they are having their very first annual Founders Dinner on Friday, November 3rd at the Seaside Convention Center. So we're talking about the fact that if you go to coastwildlife.org, you can buy tickets. So storytelling, people getting a chance to meet each other. And you mentioned some kind of exciting auction items. Maybe you want to just give them people a little bit of an idea of what kinds of things they can get.
Sure.
At this event.
Yeah, many of our auction items are centered around experiences this year. And two that I'm especially excited about are experiences that folks can be a part of what we do, basically. So we have one called Feed and Frolic at WCNC, where the winning bidder will be able to come out to the center for an afternoon and help us feed our wildlife patients and basically shadow our rehabilitation team, our staff and volunteers, and really see what it's like out at the center and interact with the patients and, you know, get a firsthand look.
That is a great auction item.
Yeah. Mm. A second one we're really excited about is a private release party. So the winning bidder there will be able to invite as many of their friends, family, neighbors that they want to be involved. We'll bring refreshments for the whole group, kind of talk about whichever patient it is that we'll be releasing, and then they will get a private experience of releasing this bird or animal back into the wild. We're thinking, you know, something like a bald eagle or a pelican or something like that to, you know, make it really special for them.
And when you are doing, when you're having this event, I mean, I think that you're going to be telling stories of the successes that you've had over the years. I know that you have like certain animals who live kind of full time at the center, and we've talked about, well, would there be able to be an owl there or not? And that really, that's you. I know you're going to be showing slides and everything, but what are the birds who live full time at the center?
We have a small ambassador group, we'll call them. Our main one that we bring to all of our programs as an American kestrel falcon. His name is Flynn, North America's smallest falcon. And we, like you mentioned, we haven't quite decided whether we're going to be bringing one of our ambassadors or not. If we do, it would be Flynn. He's trained to a glove. We can walk through the crowd, you know, introduce him to people. We also have a Western screech owl. He's not quite trained yet as an educational ambassador. He's still working with one of our volunteers to really learn how to be an education ambassador. And then we also have a saw-whet owl, another little tiny owl here on the coast. But we don't have a ton of ambassadors right now. We're working on once, you know, because part of our plan is to even really expand our education program in the future. And once we start doing that, we're going to be adding ambassadors to our program. But so right now we really have those three
okay.
ambassadors.
So you're looking at expanding your educational programs, which mm-hmm. I think is a great idea, because when young people, when children in the schools learn respect for wildlife, and you're not throwing rocks at them, you're not being exactly. unkind to the wildlife, and you realize the joy that they bring to everyone, that's a really important thing. So for the future of the Wildlife Center, how does that look to you right now, Josh?
So right now our education program is pretty it's very basic. It's we get up there with our ambassadors, we give a very kind of short, quick, impromptu education program. It's Charnell's original program that we just have kept doing because that's all we've known. So we're working on tailoring the program for different age groups, different demographics, different talks. So we're not just talking about Flynn, our screech owl, and common murre. We're talking also maybe we have a program that's just about what we do, who we are, what wildlife rehab is. We want to tailor a program so that it's about nature in general, not just the birds that we have.
Right, because habitat. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, we both were saying, yes, exactly. You can't have the wildlife without the habitat.
Exactly.
Making that connection is key. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and with our education ambassador birds, it's really incredible. We love going out to different community events and speaking with people and engaging with them. But when we're able to have one of our ambassador birds with us, people just light up and are drawn, you know, over to the table and want to engage more and really experience having a wild animal there and learn as much as they can about them. So it's really an important piece of connecting with people and really getting that messaging across and getting them to really care.
I hope that our young people, and I know we've talked about nature deficit disorder and that young people aren't getting out into the woods, into nature as much, but I hope that there are some who are having that experience of just, you know, lying under a tree and just hearing a bird singing this joyful tune, mm-hmm. because that calms our nervous system. I mean, that is, I think research has shown that is biologically a very positive thing for us as human beings, because we are all connected, mm-hmm. as the pioneers say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm hoping that that's happening, and that for those people who are listening now, if you're 18 or older, you can be a volunteer, right, Josh?
Yeah, you can start volunteering when you're 16, but you can't work hands-on with our wildlife at 16, and you have to have an adult supervisor with you while you're volunteering. But when you're 18, you can volunteer on your own, work hands-on with our wildlife, learn kind of everything that we can offer. And there are a lot of different opportunities, too, for people that don't work hands-on as well. We have our animal care group, which is the hands-on. That's cleaning the cages, medicating the birds, swimming our aquatic birds in their swim tubs.
How do you swim an aquatic bird in a swim tub? Like, it's like, okay, it's time now. Yep. Let's get in the pool. And I mean, how do you do that? What if they say, I don't feel like swimming now?
Right. Well, so when we clean their cages, we just take them out of their cage. We fill a sink up with water. We have big stainless steel. I think they're actually dog washing sinks. So the big, or like almost like a commercial dishwashing sink. We fill those sinks up with water, put the bird in there while to let it swim, drink water while we clean its cage. And then we put it back. And with a lot of our seabirds, they need to be on water to stay healthy. Being on land or in a cage can actually cause more problems. So we try to keep them on water as much as possible. It's also, I think, probably pretty therapeutic for them, mm-hmm. considering they spend all their time out in the ocean. We bring them in, put them in a cage, and if they just stayed in a cage all day, every day, it'd be pretty depressing
for them. not healthy
about
for them.
Deficit disorder.
And nine times out of ten, Donna, they are really happy to be in the water. They'll start bathing. They're drinking. Sometimes the murres start cooing. It's pretty cute to see them excited when they get in the bath.
The Wildlife Center of the North Coast is also participating in the Gifts That Make a Difference this year. So why don't we talk a teeny bit about a couple of other upcoming events, and then we'll swing back to kind of your Founders Dinner before we close the program.
Sure. We're really excited to participate in Gifts That Make a Difference Fair. I believe it's on Saturday, December 9th this year in the McTavish Room, again at Liberty Theater. And it's such a great event because it's all different nonprofit organizations in our community coming together, and the folks that go there are really choosing alternative gifts that are making a difference in our community versus, you know, just going out and buying someone a TV or something. If you take that same amount of money and you're donating it to an organization and honoring your giftee, it's really kind of expanding the impact.
People don't need more stuff, but if you give them a beautiful card that says, you know, a donation's been made in your name to the Wildlife Center of the North Coast so that, you know, Flynn can educate more children in our schools,
exactly.
or so that, you know, this bald eagle can fly free, mm-hmm. and so that we can, I mean, yes, I think that is a powerful gift for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then in December is Fort George going to be doing an event as well?
That is the last Tuesday in December. I believe it's the 26th this year. So day after Christmas.
Boxing Day in England. So that's
there, you go. it's the second year that we're doing our Fort George benefit, and December has been a good month for us. So, you know, after the holiday push, when you're exhausted and you don't feel like cooking more holiday food or eating leftovers, you can come out and have fun with us at the fort.
I want to now, because since we only have a few minutes left, I want to now go back to this first annual Founders Dinner, because I think that's so important. You've already sold about half the tickets. There are more tickets available, but people should really get involved and get online right now and buy the tickets. And they can do that on your website, which is coastwildlife.org, or through calling you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. They can also call us. Our number at the center is 503-338-0331. And tickets are $50, includes a really delicious dinner, there are vegetarian entree options as well for folks who are vegetarian. Go to coastwildlife.org.
Well, what a joyful way to start, you know, November. Mm-hmm. I mean, when people could think, to just come and celebrate again the 20 years of all the work, the good work that you've done and that you continue to do. Any last things that you'd like the listening audience to know, Lindsay?
We really hope that folks will come out and be a part of this celebration. And if you're interested in volunteering with us, there's all kinds of opportunities. We just really value our community and feel so fortunate to have such a supportive group along the coast.
The celebration. You know, we talk about the celebrating our 20 years and our founder, and it's more than celebrating that. It's also celebrating our supporters, mm-hmm. All of our volunteers, anyone that's really been involved, or whether that's making donations, buying us supplies, putting in time, or helping wildlife. It's celebrating everybody that's been involved with our organization over the 20 years, and that means anyone that's brand new coming to the event for the first time, and
all those folks who've helped us rescue all of the patients we've seen. I mean, thousands upon thousands of animals over the past 20 years, from the finder on the beach who rescues them to folks who are sending in, you know, even $2 to help with food. It's really important.
If you were going to give a message to the general public, or maybe to our young people, about how to interact with wildlife, and maybe since we're talking about birds specifically right now, what would you say?
How to be compassionate, be respectful. Our mission, of course, is to promote compassion, empathy, and respect for all life. Really, as far as interacting with wildlife on a daily basis, treat them with respect, compassion,
and just appreciate them. Mm-hmm.
We share our home; it's their home as well. So we really need to not only take care of the environment for ourselves, but also for the wildlife that live among us.
Yes, and again, it enriches our daily lives here on the North Coast, the people who live here and the people who visit here. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for all the important work you're doing at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, one of my favorite organizations here. And I encourage all of you to go to coastwildlife.org and get your tickets for the November 3rd first annual Founders Dinner at the Seaside Convention Center. And I want to thank Joanne Rideout for being the engineer today, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good for you, body, mind, and spirit, just as listening to birds singing is good for you. And then focus on the things that are going well in your life, the things that make you feel good, because there are always those things that aren't going well. However, when you have gratitude for the things that are and you focus on those, then your body, mind, and spirit are relaxed and you can live your life more peacefully. And that's a benefit to you and to all around you. Then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. And for doing the best you can, everyone really is. And for being here now, in this moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.